Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You're listening to The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Chet West and Bill Patterson. Here's what's on deck for this episode.
There wasn't a single game in the series that was close.
Please don't drag my guy down into the muck.
I'm not dragging your guy down into the muck. I don't understand how that works. Veggie bratwurst. And the thing, so I got one. Well, Litterbox listeners, things did not go great this past weekend. Our Detroit Tigers, our supposed best team in MLB, best team in the majors, got swept at home by the Seattle Mariners. And to be quite honest, there wasn't a single game in the series that was close. What's worse is that gets us 4 straight losses. I am going to pull back a little on my thoughts because I don't want one series to drive me over the edge here. I don't want it to make me look like a crazy fan. My partner, Bill, has different thoughts. He wants to take a different angle at it. I don't blame him, to be dead honest with you. We're going to cover that series briefly. We're going to shoot into the draft results, at least the first round and second, third round, as to what the Tigers have done up to this point. Draft is still ongoing as we record. And we're going to take that and spin it into the farm system and give you guys an idea of what we have down on the farm right now. There's some positives there. Believe it. But who is still going to be left around after the trade deadline? Who should we look to get rid of? Who should we not look to get rid of? I'll give you a little hint. I don't want us getting rid of a whole heck of a lot down on the farm. And then we'll kind of look at what maybe we're going to be looking for post All-Star break. And then an exciting announcement about a future endeavor that yours truly, Bill and Chet, will be getting into. Bill, what are your thoughts? Give them to me. Unload.
It was not a fun weekend to be a Detroit Tigers baseball fan. Now, given it's been a magical season. So to your point, I can probably only be so harsh, but this is the worst they've played. The only other time this season they've lost 3 straight, it's happened a few times, but they haven't played bad. You know, like they typically have a bad game and then rebound with a good game. This was hopefully supposed to be the Scooble get right game. Unfortunately, he looked pedestrian / human in this game. 5 innings pitched, 4 hits, 4 earned runs. He walked 2, which was weird. He did strike out 5, but the key thing is that he only went five innings. From there, it just got worse. Hanafy was okay for 1.2 innings. Holton was somewhat decent. He allowed 1 earned run in 1.1. And then Carlos Hernandez blew up. The Tigers ended up losing Friday night 12-3 in front of a full house at Comerica, and you know, I just felt bad for the fans, you know, that maybe were there for the first time this year. They deserved better than this, and it really was a close game until the 8th. It was 5-3, and then the one thing we said going into the series is don't let Cal Raleigh beat you. Cal Raleigh did exactly that in the 8th and 9th. He hit his 37th and 38th homers, and the Seattle Mariners ended Tarek Skubal's 3-month unbeaten streak with a 12-3 romp. Some other numbers for our Hernandez didn't register an out. He allowed 3 hits, 4 earned runs, and 1 walk. And then Brant Herder had to come in, and so did Jake Rogers. The mustache pitched as well to close it out because of that rule that the Tigers were down so much. So overall, it was absolutely abysmal. I guess if I can pour on just a little bit more. Not that it feels good to, but I just want to go down some of these stat lines. Cole Keith, who had been playing really well, went 0 for 5 this game. Jamai Jones came in to pinch hit for Wensel Perez, who was 2 for 3 and promptly went 0 for 1. Torque went 0 for 3. Dingler went 0 for 2 and is slumping mightily. Trey Sweeney was again brought in as a pinch hitter. Don't ask me why this happens. That's a beef and a rant possibly for another pod. And he promptly went 0 for 0. So at least he walked, but still pretty abysmal. And then our guy Javi Baez went 0 for 4. So that's basically your recap on game one. Do you have any other thoughts you want to add to that, or did I button that up pretty well?
You nailed that pretty good. I'm ready to move along. I don't even want to talk about the game. One was probably the best of the bunch too, which
it really was
to say,
yeah,
outside of the Pen, but the Pen was terrible all weekend long. So let's go to game two and we'll drill into that.
Not much better. 15-7 Mariners, and here's really the story of it. Casey Mize couldn't go very far. He
first
pitched,
we've seen this year of him,
yeah. Yeah, kind of so flailing. We got, go figure, we got back-to-back bad starting outings from our two starting pitchers that are all-stars, Tarek Skubal and Casey Mize. So I don't think that's the reason for concern. My reason for concern is, you know, that was bound to happen, but he did pitch 3 innings, 6 hits, 6 earned runs, walked 1, struck out 4. Then Montero came in, pitched another 3 innings, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, walked 1, struck out 2. And at that point, the game was over. But Tommy Cannelly, he shaved body hair because he didn't register an out, 4 hits, 4 earned runs, and he walked 1. So
I'm going to say Tommy Cannelly is pretty naked, pretty hairless, yeah, at this point. I don't think there's much left to shave on the guy's body.
No. He looks like a baby mouse right,
yeah,
now. You know, when they first come out and their skin's all pink and all that. Like, so that's probably what Cannelly looks like. As far as hitting goes, it was a little bit better. Jake Rogers was 0 for 4. Meadows was 0 for 1. And I got a text in this game from, actually multiple texts from a variety of different people, some that listen to the pod, some that should listen to the pod, saying that Parker Meadows has that look in his eye like he knows he's going to be Toledo bound at some point. And I think you and I also talked offline on that. I hope it's not the case. I want him to figure it out. I hope that this All-Star break gives all of the Tigers some rest. Again, I don't want to be overly harsh. It seems like it was a bunch of factors combining all at once. I do have an underlying fear that I want to ask you, or anxiety, I guess, if you would, is just part of my fandom. And that is, now that we're starting to see better teams the second time through the season, the only other team we've seen outside of our division, which quite frankly, our division's pretty lousy this year, is, yep, the Orioles, who are also considered one of the biggest underachievers this season. Now we've seen the Rays and we've seen the Mariners, and our bullpen looked very, very hittable against both of those the second time through. Your thoughts?
This is no secret at this point. There is not a single person covering this team that isn't talking about our bullpen's inability to get guys out. Namely, swing and miss, okay? It's one thing if you're getting out of the innings and you're, you know, they're ground balls, fly balls, whatever. Swing and miss is pretty critical for a bullpen, especially when you got guys that are coming in with guys on base and you're trying to keep runs off the board. We don't have it. And everybody knows we need it. We'll talk about it later in this podcast on trade deadline stuff and everything else, but we don't have it. We don't have anybody that can do it right now. Holton Vest, I mean, might be the closest things to it. And Holton's a stretch on swing and miss. So Vest would be the only guy. Tommy Cannelly, I mean, if you don't mind that I just rant for a second about this.
Oh, cool.
The guy gave up 3 runs, didn't get an out in game 2. Game 3 rolls around, he comes back out and has a repeat performance and doesn't get a single out and gives up 4 runs. Actually, excuse me, 3 runs. Was it 4 runs and 3 runs? Either way, he gave up like 7 runs over 2 games. This is piggybacking off of a performance he had in the previous series where he got blown up for 4 runs and didn't get an out, didn't record an out. So we now have 3 terrible, terrible performances by Cannelly. Something is wrong. I called it out on the last pod. I think something's wrong with him. I think we got to get something fixed here. these are not giving up a run here, a run there, a la like a Hanafy or a Holton on occasion. You know, it's one.
Don't
run
you drag? Please don't drag my guy down into the muck.
I'm not dragging your guy down into the muck. I'm saying that's closer to normal. That they would just give one run up. Canley's out there giving up the game. I mean, he's giving 3-4 runs up, and he's giving up in batches and not recording it out. That's problematic.
Hugely that problematic.
Could be that people are sitting there on his 96% changeup rate.
Yes.
And basically saying, I'm going to sit on this. He's not throwing me a fastball. And if he does, it's only going to happen once in an outing for him. The problem with the change is like the key is it's not in the strike zone, right? Typically, they drop out of the strike zone. They fool hitters based on the off-speed stuff. When you put it in the strike zone, it's whack central. I mean, people can kill the thing. So I think they're just sitting on it. They figured him out, and they know exactly what they're looking for. He may not be hitting his spots with the change, which is, you know, typically loan in, loan away. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of his repertoire right now. He had some outings for us, but he's now become very hittable. Go ahead.
No, he's become an albatross. He's become a liability. Everything you say, I agree with. And weirdness of body shaving aside, he wasn't really good last year in the playoffs either.
No, he wasn't.
And it was one of those signings that I thought kind of raised an eyebrow between you and I, you know, from Scott Harris in the front office of the Tigers signing him. And it all looked good for the first, let's say, 70 days of the season. Now it's looking like everybody else in MLB knew what the Tigers maybe didn't want to believe. And that is, he goes as his changeup goes, but right now, to your point, the location's not
going.
There. It's going. It's a friggin' wiffle ball.
Yeah.
Right across the middle that you can smack with the big Flintstone bam bam bat, you know, over the neighbor's fence.
And so, look, bullpens are they're
flaky, come and go,
right?
They come and go.
We don't know what we're getting from a bullpen year to year, more or less month to month.
But he's the one that I would say right now we have to put a serious question mark around, he needs something to go right. That
I
being said,
that.
You and I have harped on this team all year long for how utilized he has been, meaning he, Tommy Cannelly, Brandon Hanafy, Will Vest, Tyler Holton. These guys have all thrown in excess of 45, some 50 innings. So they've logged heavy.
100%.
Heavy utilization. So, you know, the other thing that was really, if we can just talk about game three.
Yeah,
real quick.
Fire away.
The Tigers were in this one up until the end, lost 8-4. And the key part here is A, they were swept at home, which hasn't happened this year. B, it's a 4-game losing streak, which we've already talked about, which is the longest it's been this season.
Yeah.
Pinch us because that's so no fortunate.
Kidding. Yeah, it's great.
But here's the thing. Flaherty pitched pretty well. 5 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs. He walked 2, but he struck out 7. He was dealing, and his curveball for 2 straight outings looks amazing.
Yep.
Holton comes in, my guy, and pitches 2 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 2 Ks. Tigers are still in it. I can't explain Tyler Holton to you or to our audience. He doesn't swing, doesn't generate swing and miss. He doesn't strike anybody out, and yet somehow he gets more or less by unscathed. Mm-hmm. That being said, Will Vest comes in to do what Will Vest has been doing, and he gets blown up. 1 hit, 1 earned run, and he walked 3, which was the key thing.
So I'm wondering if the outlook there from Hinch was, I'm going to have Vest go 2 innings.
Yes.
I mean, is that I'm going to have Vest go 2 innings? That's sad. He's your closer. You save him for the final inning. You should have a setup guy, but we can't because Canley's our setup guy and he's been imploding lately.
Yes.
And he thus then came in and imploded again and put the game out of reach. But yeah, I see that. I mean, Vest comes in the 8th. He gives up the run to tie it in the 8th. He walked 3 guys, which is un-Will Vest-like also.
Oh,
so,
totally.
Yeah, we got
our one swing and miss.
You know,
guy,
it's like, but if Canley's on his game, comes in the 8th, I wonder if the whole story is different. You know, I know it's just we're playing games with it now. But either way, we got to get the bullpen right. We need bullpen help. Everybody knows we need bullpen help. Unfortunately, every team competing needs bullpen help. So it's going to be interesting to see how we sort that all out.
Yep. If I can add one thing too, yes. The Texas Rangers are now coming up next. This is, again, the second series that we've played mm-hmm. against the Rangers. Yep. The Rangers are one of those teams, a la the Braves, Orioles, that Diamondbacks maybe, that are considered underachievers. I disagree with the Diamondbacks. They just play in the best division in baseball.
Sure.
I think they're still, I think the Diamondbacks would be neck and neck with the Tigers if they played in the AL Central. Where I wanted to go with this is the Rangers did take 2-3 way back when they played the first time. I'm real curious to see how this rotation does and the bullpen does. I'm watching this very, very closely and starting to get a little bit nervous. After the Rangers, we have a 4-game set also with the Blue Jays, who are red hot. And
I think we got a break in Pittsburgh.
We do.
In the middle.
We do, but yeah. I know everybody was getting Pirates fatigue from me, so we'll just leave it alone. Although I would be remiss, baseball did finally get it right with the All-Star game. We are going to get to see a Tarik Skubal, Paul Skeens yep. matchup for at least an inning, hopefully.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there. But no, overall, it wasn't good. And I think the concern is real with what happened specifically with Cannelly, and then more specifically with Vest. And I'm just hoping this we can get some rest. I'm happy that those guys aren't heading to Atlanta, and I'm hoping that a little rest will do us some good. Any other thoughts?
Before we transition into our next topic, are you done on the series? How do you feel about that recap of that series? Are you good?
Yeah, I mean, I think we covered it well. I just didn't, you know, we felt really good after.
I feel like we did.
Yeah, but, you know, after the first two games in the race series, we were feeling really good going into the All-Star break. Now losing 4 straight, it's the worst I've felt all year about this team.
Well, outside of a break to think about it for a week.
Yeah, yeah, so we'll see. Home run derbies tonight for everyone, and then we already talked about the All-Star game. Let's move on.
CXG believes in the visual art of storytelling, whether it's through film, video, live events, or podcasts just like this one. Our mission is to connect audiences through powerful, authentic stories that leave a lasting impact. CXG is proud to support the Litter Box because great stories deserve to be seen and heard. Learn more at cxgfilms.com.
Hey, Tiger fans. You know what's more frustrating than a bases-loaded double play? When your small business is striking out with technology problems. That's why our good buddy, Brett Danis, created Summit Tech Partners. Brett's a Michigan guy through and through and a lifelong Tigers fan. And Summit provides the perfect relief pitcher for your IT needs. While other services throw you generic fastballs, Brett's team will scout your business and develop a customized game plan specifically for your small business.
While you're keeping track of ERA and RBIs, Brett's team will handle your IT infrastructure. His team will monitor your systems like a hawk-eyed umpire, catching problems before they become major league disasters. Summit has a full roster of IT services that'll keep your business safe and running smoothly, so you can spend less time troubleshooting and more time watching torque bombs.
Visit homerun.support today for your free consultation.
Summit Tech Partners, where your small business is always the MVP.
So I'm going to do something lighthearted here, right dead smack in the middle of the pod. I went to Cubs-Twins game Thursday. You love your food reviews, Bill. I'm going to throw something at you. I saw something that was just an abomination. So the Twins kind of, they've got a good selection of food and drink at their games. Harder to find the good beer than the others, but it's what I find there is we get a little experimental once in a while. First and foremost, I am not a big fan of taking something that is not terribly healthy and trying to make a healthy version of it. Okay.
No.
What I mean by that, and I was sitting in the left field bleachers, which were actually some sneaky good seats. I enjoyed sitting out there. At the top of the section, we had what was like a dual cart. Half of it was kosher hot dogs. Love a good kosher dog. Fine with kosher hot dogs. The other half, vegetarian bratwurst.
What?
Veggie bratwurst.
No. That's those two words, they shouldn't go in the same sentence.
Smoky fresh air. I don't understand how that works. Veggie bratwurst. And the thing, so I got one. I tried one.
Why?
I saw a girl order one. I said, can you come here for a second? Can I take a look at that? And she's looking at me like I'm nuts. And I was like, I just want to look at your brat. And so she brings it over and she puts it in front of my face. She's like, I go, are you vegetarian? She goes, no, but I figured I'd give it a try. I'm like, I'm kind of thinking the same thing. I was like, do you take a bite and tell me? And she's like, I'm going to go sit down at my seat now. I was like, all right, bye. Good. She wanted nothing more to do with me. So I get in the line. I order veggie bratwurst. Do you know when you bite into a brat, there's a snap? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like the encasing casing, the natural on the meat.
Yeah.
Give a nice snap when you bite into a good brat. And then the rest of the bite is sort of a, how do I describe this? It's almost satisfying the way your teeth can cut through the meats of a brat. It's not soft or dense, but it's juicy. It's got some, it's kind of like ground up cartilage or something. I don't know how to describe it. But the snap is the key to the brat for me. Okay. I bit into this thing and it was like, it had a little snap, but it was weak. And then it was like sponge. It was like very a wet odd sensation. You know what it was like? It was like an overcooked noodle. You ever had a really soft overcooked noodle?
That's what I
meant. It was like
by
a whole brat like that.
Ugh.
I don't know what they made it with. If it was tofu or what it was. It was disgusting.
And some soy product.
I barely got the snap. The snap was very, it just didn't feel good.
You can't use natural casein if you want to check the vegetarian box.
You can't. So there's something that they're using there on the outside, and it is not what I would expect. Anyways, the whole thing's a disaster from the title all the way on down to the concept, down to the actual execution of the food. It tasted horrible, and it left like this film on my mouth. I think it was just disgusting. At any rate,
you couldn't wash it out.
Veggie brats, don't do them. They had a mile. Then there was no line for these things, by the way. There was no line. I should have just known. Any food at that Twin Stadium that's any good has a line a mile and a half long for it. The rest of it's like, whatever. Okay. The kosher dogs had like three people in line for it. The brats, the veggie brats had nobody. The one lone girl that walked out with it, and I could see her brat, and I was like, can I see that? But other than that, nobody was getting them. So that's a sign in of itself. You want cheese curds? We do a lot of importing of cheese curds here from Wisconsin. You want cheese curds? You got a line a mile long. You're missing an inning and a half if you want to share cheese curds. That's
fresh,
a disaster
though,
for in-game. They're fresh. They're good. They're good cheese curds. I'm not besmirching the cheese curds. They're great, but the line is way too long. They have to figure out a quicker way to crank those things out.
Does Target Field have its game? Does it have its own dairy farm next to the bullpen?
I don't believe so. No, I do not believe they do.
Can I
so
comment?
We're off the food. Yeah, go ahead.
Hold on. I have one final comment for you. For our younger listeners that are still in the dating phase, walking up to the fairer sex and asking if you can see their brat clearly is not a good pickup line.
No, that's not a good pickup line. It wasn't meant to be a pickup line. I wasn't trying to pick anybody up, but I realized like she might have thought I was. I mean, I could have tried to flash a wedding ring just to set her off and like kind of like calm her down, but like she just looked at me like, why do you want to see my brat? And I'm like, well, I'm doing a case study on, you know. So it got all weird. And the brat tasted terrible. The whole thing was just a mess, and they shouldn't serve them. They shouldn't serve veggie brats. I don't understand. Find a veggie dish that's, you know, tofu, whatever it may be. I don't know. The brat may have been made out of tofu for all I know. Not a tofu guy myself. Should we move past food?
Yeah.
I think we can move past food now. That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to introduce that. So let's do a little down on the farm. We talked about what we need. We need relief pitching, right? Everybody's talking about, well, what are we willing to trade? What are we willing to trade off? So I did a little assessment here. Our farm system, the top three prospects in our farm system rival anybody's. We have one of the top fives in all of baseball. After that, it drops off pretty good. The names that I would bring up, okay, everybody knows McGonagall. He's basically our number one across the board, no matter who you look, whose rankings you look at. Max Clark is usually number two. And Briseño, Rainier, and Lorenzo are where things start getting shuffled around. But Rainier is typically three, followed by Briseño or Lorenzo or vice versa, one or the other. Okay. After that, things start to get a little jumbled up, but it's usually a guy by the name of Hao Yu Lee, who will probably see up on the big league squad. We saw him in spring training. We acquired him a couple years back from the Phillies. He's like our 6 or 7. Jaden Hamm, who's a right-handed pitcher, he's probably around 7 or 8 on most rankings. He's at AA right now. He's doing a fine job. And then we get into guys like Chris Rodriguez, Owen Hall, depending on the rankings you're looking at. So the top five being McGonagall, Clark, Rainier, Lorenzo, and Briseño. We've all heard about them. I am hoping, praying, we aren't getting rid of any of those guys unless it's somebody with control. We have to get control. If we go after a starting pitcher, like say Zach Eflin is a name I've heard mentioned on occasion lately, okay? Let's suppose we're looking at Zach Eflin. Like Zach Eflin has no control left. He's done. He's got a year left on his deal. We lose him at the end of the season. I don't think we should be giving up any of those top five guys for him, okay? Those guys should be safe in our system. Unless we're going to get a starter that has 2 to 3 years of control left, and even then, I don't want to see McGonagall, Clark, or really Briseño getting dealt. Rainier is a ways off. He's injured right now. I just don't know how much he's going to come into play at this trade deadline. Theron Lorenzo is a name that could get dealt for somebody with some control. He's a guy that could get dealt. Haoyu Lee maybe is a guy that could get dealt. Jace Young, maybe a guy that could get dealt. I think we're going to be seeing the guys that are going to get dealt are the guys further down the top 30 prospect list, the Isaac Pachecos, the Carson Ruckers, the Owen Halls, the Ethan Schiefelbins that are like, you know, down in rookie ball right now. These guys aren't guys you've heard too much about. So they're a little younger. They got a long way before we see them up on the big league club.
So I've got a couple names for you.
Go ahead.
What about Trey Sweeney or Justin Henry Molloy?
Yeah, you would love to rid yourself of them. I think they'd be a throw-in at this point in a deal. I don't know that either one of them is going to get a big deal done. Yeah. I think they would be a nice add-on. Like, if you wanted to get a pitcher with a couple years control, pick your pitcher, whoever it may be, 2 to 3 years control, a starter, like a 3 or a 4 guy, they may ask for a Theron Lorenzo and a Trey Sweeney. And that might be what you have to give up for a guy with control. If you want to get like an Eflin to finish out the year, a Trey Sweeney straight up might work. I'm thinking in, you know, Trey Sweeney and like a somebody down the prospect pole there, down in the bottom third, like a maybe a, I don't know, Joseph Montalvo or a Josh Randall, somebody like that. I don't want to give up any of our big names. I don't want to be giving up Ty Madden's, Troy Melton's. These are guys that are going to be very valuable to us going forward. But I'm guessing you won't hear any of those top 5, 6, 7 names get called in a trade. Chris Rodriguez is another guy everybody's hot on. The guy's 17 years old. He's in rookie ball. He's like our number 7 or 8 prospect right now in a lot of rankings. You're not going to see him till 2030.
I know,
so but if he's, somebody wants him,
he's the most expensive.
If somebody wants him for like a 2 to 3 year control guy, maybe. I might be willing to do that.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, we're looking a ways out at that. We're looking a ways out at that. So
if I'm listening to you then, and I think you and I have already somewhat come to this conclusion, is the Tigers have, they're top heavy in their system, but it's a really good farm system.
It is. It's fantastic. And there's guys down below that are still going to be contributors. Some of them this year. I mean, we've already seen Dylan Smith. Coming into the year, Dylan Smith was our 18th ranked prospect in our system in that area. He's already been up and been fairly serviceable as a reliever. Tyler Owens is another one of those guys. We've seen him. He was our 27th ranked prospect. So there's guys we might see coming in and out as the season goes on here. But those are two guys that have shown up, and maybe Tyler Owens gets dealt. Maybe Dylan Smith is involved in a deal. It would not shock me if they were trying to show him off a little at the big league level. Could have been.
Yeah. More and more, though, I'm starting to come to the conclusion that I think we will get And we've alluded to it on the pod already. I think we're going to get bullpen help, and I think that's about all. And I don't know how exciting the bullpen help is going to be in terms of, I don't see the Tigers willing to give up what it's going to take to get, I don't know, a Mason Miller or
I don't think they will.
Something significant that you have control over. I think they're going to have to go with the rental and give up, you know, some of those lesser prospects.
I hear a lot of talk about people being okay giving up like a Max Clark. If you give up a Max Clark, you better get somebody really good in return. Somebody who's going to be effective right now and that we have control of a couple years left. I want 2 to 3 years control and somebody who can be a good starter for a Max Clark. I don't even know if I'd deal Max Clark for like a Mason Miller. I'm not even 100% sure I'd do that. Relievers, like we were saying, flaky. Like, I don't know, year to year, you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And Mason Miller's Mason Miller this year. Is he Troy Percival next year? I don't know.
Yeah. And then, well, anybody that's going to be elite, you're going to have to pay to. And one of the greatest parts about this Tigers front office and the franchise where it's currently at is the flexibility they have with only Baez's Albatross.
You know, totally.
I mean, yeah, they're going to have to pay Skubal in arbitration, but I mean, that's money well spent.
Couple other names I'll throw at you here. There's a guy by the name of Max Anderson. Mm-hmm. Who was literally on the fringe of being what you would call like an org guy, okay? Not even a prospect guy anymore. He's kind of bouncing between prospect and org. Like your prospect guys are like your top 30. Org guys are guys that bounce back and forth between AAA and the Major League Club, and they kind of do that for their existence, or they sit down in AAA for extended periods of time. Gage Workman is an org guy, okay?
Thomas, he's a great example.
Thomas Nito is an org guy, okay? Guys like Max Anderson were seen as possibly being an org guy. All of a sudden, he's got like a top 10 batting average in minor leagues. So people are saying, well, he's a second baseman. We're backed up there. He could be a big trade chip for another team. I'd be curious to see what we'd get. I wouldn't have a problem getting rid of him if we get something decent back. So these are names that you might see getting dealt, guys like him that you may see getting dealt. I'm not thinking you're going to see your top five guys, those top five we mentioned, getting dealt away. Howie Lee maybe is a guy that gets dealt. If not, you're probably going to see him up with the club pretty soon. I hope we are not getting rid of the likes of a Troy Melton, who is a very skilled pitcher, and we should see him at the major league level this year. I hope we're not getting rid of guys like that. I hope we're not getting rid of Ty Madden's. Even though he's injured right now, he's going to come back. And I liked what I saw of him last year. You'll remember he was a part of that no-hitter, that three-pitcher no-hitter that they threw or whatever it was at the end of last season. So the other thing to look at here is, okay, we're out trading. What do we want? Well, the guys that are available, especially now we're talking about bats, we have people that can do what they do. It's like we're trading for more of what we already have. We have a bunch of 700 OPS guys. Who are you going to go out that's a bat that's going to make an impact on this team? I mean, if you're looking for a depth piece and it doesn't cost anything, fine. But really, do we need depth pieces right now? We seem to have depth. We just don't have impact. Like, there's nothing to get, right? I mean, on the offensive side of things, I'm kind of good standing pat.
I'm good standing pat. I think the bullpen's what needs the most work. I would even say starting pitching is going to be too expensive for what we'd get in return. So I agree with you on that.
I'm honestly almost more excited to see what we can bring up in the way of a Melton or a Ham or a Ty Madden, to see what we can bring up to insert and increase our bullpen.
I think
doing that than giving away anything valuable.
Well, that's another interesting wrinkle in this season, is if the Tigers can continue having such a monumental lead within the division, it's going to be fun come September when there's very few winning baseball teams on the schedule, meaning it's the Mets, Yankees, and Red Sox. At this point, everybody else is well below 500. And will the 40-man roster, you know, include so many of these youngsters, and it could be a really fun preview for it going forward.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that.
I want to touch on the draft a little bit because
I want to do, because that's the next thing.
I was They've only made two picks. Jordan Yost was the first round pick. He's a shortstop from Sickles High School in Florida. He's a Florida commit. I cannot stand drafting high school players.
And neither can
the
I.
The early rounds. And his brothers.
At least they did it with a position player. At least
his
they did
brothers
it with a position player.
At Florida. So the odds are that he's going to go play with Big Brother at Florida, which is a really strong program. I hope the Tigers sign him and that he doesn't become a wasted pick. That would really frustrate me. And of all the positions on this team that we have the depth of in the minor leagues, it's shortstop. Yeah. But to your point, last pod, and then I don't know, maybe six pods ago, you might as well draft shortstops because you can move them anywhere. You can convert them to third base. You can sometimes move them to outfield. They can second base. So I think it's a good depth piece. And apparently he just smokes the ball off the bat. So, and if they signed him below slot value and can actually sign him, I'm fine with it. And we'll see what happens from there. But I'm a little confused. I mean, this just isn't really a very sexy draft.
This was a bad, I'm going to tell you right now, nobody's excited about this draft for the Tigers right now. You can polish this turd all you want. Jordan Yost was plus 50 ranking coming into this thing. We took him with the 24th pick. He was like the 56th or 53rd rank. Michael Oliveto was even further down the list, like 90th or something. We took him with our comp pick at number 34. Mm-hmm. These were cheap picks is what they were. They were supposedly saving on Yost. And everybody thought, well, their comp pick at 34, they're going to pay way up for somebody to try and talk him out of college. Michael Oliveto is not that guy. He was going to Yale. He was, you know, he had just popped on college teams' radars this past spring because he hit the ball at some session they had. Those two guys, like, we didn't draft anybody in the top 50, and we had two picks in the top 35 picks. And our second-round guy is the brother of a guy who went 15th. Our second-round guy, Malachi Witherspoon's out of Oklahoma, at least he's a pitcher, and he's a college guy, okay? And same with Ben Jacobs out of Arizona State. He was our number 98 pick in round three. But none of these guys are guys I look at. Maybe we're going to sit here in 5 years and say, wow, Scott Harris nailed that draft and he took guys nobody knew anything about. Okay. Remember, we felt sort of similar about some Lions draft picks in the past couple of years and they ended up panning well. So maybe we have that same luck. I don't know. What drives me a little crazy is two of the guys that I thought the Tigers would take with that 24th pick literally went with the 25th and 26th pick. They were pitchers, Cruz Schoolcraft, who's a big lefty, and Gage Wood, who's out of Arkansas. So Schoolcraft was a high school kid, Gage Wood out of Arkansas. I don't know why they let those guys go. That was confusing to me, but they did, and they chose Yost instead. Everybody's saying it's to save money. I don't know. We'll see what else they got in this whole thing as the rounds shake out. But, you know, Scott Harris is either a hell of a lot smarter than us, and I wouldn't bet against that, okay? I'm sure he is. Or he just wanted to gamble on they're out there. I'm not 100% sure why they chose the path they chose. But we'll see. And I think everybody else is a little befuddled too. Some people are trying to polish this thing up. I'm not that impressed with the picks. I think they could have done a little better and tried to get some more impact college level guys, but whatever.
So the one guy that I think will be the first one to possibly make the 40 man could be the lefty Ben Jacobs from Arizona State. So
possibly.
I think if they're
possibly. Makes sense, right? He's a college guy.
A pick. Yeah, number 98, their round three pick, fourth pick overall. He would be, don't ask me why, that's my gut instinct. And what I've read about him is that he could be a pick to click. That being said, it seemed to be very underwhelming. And maybe this is telling us something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe they're looking to trade shortstops.
Could be.
They feel like their pitching depth is really good. Or maybe they're planning to rack up the Brinks truck and dump it in Scoobles' front yard. So
it's very possible.
See. All right.
So
what else you got?
Let's wrap this thing up. I want to hear your thoughts post All-Star break real quick. You get a minute. What are you looking for? What are you looking to?
They definitely need to take two out of three against the Rangers.
Okay.
And I mean, we need the bullpen to be functioning again. They don't have to, you know, we can't magically hope they start
be lights out.
Developing swing and miss, but I mean, they need to be effective. And I think
the
key thing is we need quality starts. The bats weren't that terrible against the Mariners or the Rays. They just, the pitching dug us such deep holes, whether it was early or late, that it was really difficult to even be competitive when you allow 15 runs or 12 runs.
I agree with you there. We have to keep the big blow-up innings down.
I'm going to tease the food story, too, for the Rangers.
Okay.
Not now. Not now. Before the Rangers.
You're not doing it now. Okay. All right. Okay. Get ready for it.
Yeah. But I've got a really, really good one. Okay. And that being said, why don't you unveil the second tease that we've got?
So the big tease for this one that we're going to throw out there, yours truly, Bill and Chet of the Litter Box, are going to be diving in to football coverage. Your Detroit Lions. We're going to throw together a Litter Box Detroit Lions podcast. We're still in the development stages of it, hoping to unveil it at the end of this month, closer to the Hall of Fame game. And we'll see what we come up with. And we know all you will be listening. We've had a few people throw it at us. They want to see football coverage. So we're going to give football coverage a shot. I think it's going to be a blast, Bill. I'm excited to get started on that. And look for something at the end of this month on that one.
Looking very forward to it. And yeah, I mean, Lions, I guess if they weren't the king of the jungle, they would probably use a litter box as well. So, All right. With that, good talking to you. And let's hope the Tigers get some rest and come
back
strong.
Everybody, enjoy your break this week over the All-Star game. Enjoy the All-Star game. We'll be back with you in a couple days. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're Bill and Chet. We'll be back soon with more Tigers talk. If you're enjoying the show, be sure to follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you got a minute, leave us a quick review. Till next time, go Tigers.